Jesus be present among us in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. With every scar comes a story. With every scar comes a story. Sometimes the story is as brief and mundane as, well, I was slicing up some potatoes in the kitchen and my hand slipped, or I fell and scraped my knee. Sometimes the story recollects a more memorable, hard-to-forget incident that then becomes the stuff of family legend and lore. Like the time when that bike ride or rollerblading excursion didn't go quite as planned. Or the time when my Jewish friend fainted and hit the ground with his glasses on his face during his nephew's bris. Or the time when something as simple as a stroll in the neighborhood turns into a trip to the ER. Years ago, when Grace was little and still went by the name of Gracie, and I've asked her permission to tell this story, so she knows it's coming. Friends were visiting from out of town, and they decided to take her for a walk in her stroller. I was in the middle of folding some laundry when I got the call that Gracie had lunged out of her stroller just as she was being unbuckled and hit her head on the side of the brick wall at Eddie's. It was nothing that some medical glue in the ER couldn't fix, of course, or that a cup of tea for me and some warm milk for her later that evening couldn't soothe. And still that faint trace of a scar just above her eyebrow lingers to this day. There are, of course, more painful, more permanent scars. Those scars that come with stories that are more nightmare than anecdote. Physical marks that carry emotional hurt with them. And then there are those wounds that have no physical trace at all. And yet they run deep and are ever present just below the surface. Wounds that aren't and can't be fixed with medical glue and can't be soothed with a cup of tea or warm milk. Some of us may bear these deep, deep wounds and scars ourselves, and or we care about someone who does. Today's story from John's Gospel brings us back to that evening of the resurrection, that first day of the week, the day when Jesus' tomb had been found shockingly empty. We hear Jesus' closest friends and followers are now gathered together in a house, and they've locked the doors because they are afraid. They are afraid. They are traumatized. They have been abandoned in the most horrific way. Their beloved teacher, their friend, their leader, their mentor has been publicly executed in a most gruesome form of Roman capital punishment, death by crucifixion. And now, some of them have reported that the tomb where his body should have been is empty. What does it all mean? They wonder. Why is this all happening? Where are we supposed to go? What are we supposed to do? And it's in the midst of their darkness and their uncertainty, in the midst of their isolation and their fear, and despite the locked doors, that the risen Lord, life rising, love rising, appears. Peace, Jesus says. Peace be with you. Jesus inspires them. He literally breathes God's spirit of life, God's spirit of hope into them. And he shows them his wounds. He shows them his wounds. I wonder, why is it that the risen Lord still bears his wounds? I wonder, why doesn't the power of God, the power of life and love, unbounded and unleashed, why doesn't this power totally erase them with a total perfect makeover? Why leave the wounds? A few weeks ago, on a Friday in Lent, a group of us went down to 1029 East Baltimore Street to visit Helping Up Mission, which many of you are familiar with by now, as their choir has come to sing a couple of times, the Jazz Mass and Martin Luther King Jr.'s Day of Celebration. Helping Up Mission provides hope to people experiencing homelessness, poverty, or addiction by meeting their physical, psychological, social, and spiritual needs. And at any given time on their campus, there are at least 500 men in various stages of recovery. Their flagship program is a spiritual recovery program that integrates the latest scientific understanding of addiction treatment with intense spiritual development. And for one full year, participants can live at the mission in a 12-step therapeutic community. Every Friday of every week, there is a wonderful, wonderful celebration of life and hope and graduation in their chapel on the first floor. And all the men who have made it through one of the four stages of recovery, Seeds of Hope, Alpha, Omega, and finally Life Prep, all of these men who have made it through a stage are given a chance to be acknowledged and to hear the applause and the thanksgiving of everyone in the room. The head of Helping Up Mission speaks. And for me and for many, the most powerful moments, of course, are when the men who have completed one full year and who are about to walk out the doors are given some time at the podium to speak some words to their fellow brothers. On the Friday that we went, one man asked his father and his family to stand up and to be recognized, speaking words of gratitude to them. And another man stood up and said in so many words this: "If I can do this, if I can live the life that I've lived and made it through what I have made it through, you can too." What's most striking are these photographs that are projected onto large screens above the stage. There's the before photograph and the after photograph of each man who has made it through the 12-year program. What's striking is that when you see the before face and the after face side by side, it's the same face. It's the same substance with the same marks and the same scars and the same wounds, and yet the face is so, oh, so different. Light in the eyes, love in the eyes, hope in the eyes, shining through that man who has made it through 12 months of spiritual recovery. And the message that those faces speak is that I've lived through hell and I've come out the other end. And here I am standing before you, warts and all, wounds and all, scars and all, with those same experiences of hurt and pain and suffering that can never be erased. And yet I am changed. I am different. I am transformed. And if I can live through what I've lived through and come out the other end, you can too. The strength of these 12-step programs, as spoken by those who have found new life and hope through them, is the power of hearing your truth and your experience spoken on the lips of someone else. The power, the healing power of a wounded one standing before others and speaking his or her truth. Dr. Brené Brown, a professor at the University of Houston and of TED Talk fame, talks about the courage of vulnerability. She's made her life's work studying and researching courage and vulnerability. And Henry Nouwen, the 20th century priest and theologian, writes of the wounded healer. Nobody escapes being wounded. We are all wounded people in some way, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The main question is not how can we hide our wounds so we don't have to be embarrassed, but how can we put our woundedness in the service of others? When our wounds cease to be a source of shame and they become a source of healing, we ourselves have become wounded healers, just like Jesus. And the truth in our gospel story today is that Jesus, of course, is not the only wounded and risen one. Thomas is wounded too. His wounds aren't physical, but he bears the pain and suffering in his heart and in his soul of putting everything he had and all his hope and all his heart into one who was crucified. A commentator writes, "It's as if Thomas had just finally accepted that he had a terminal disease with no cure, and then someone says there's this miracle cure. And before Thomas dares to breathe hope again, before he dares to give his heart over again, after it's been shattered horrifically, he says, I want to see, I want to touch, I want to know for myself, before I dare give over my heart again to hope, let me see him and touch him for myself. And so today, on this second Sunday of Easter, we hear the resurrection appearance of Jesus and of Thomas, who dares to speak his yearning and desire, his questioning, his yearning to touch and feel for himself. And out of that, you see, Thomas is transformed, and he becomes someone who goes to India and converts people to faith in the risen Lord. Today, on this second Sunday of Easter, we are reminded love stands once again. Life rises and appears amidst doubt and fear, isolation and desolation. Here love stands, here life is. See, place your hand, reach out, connect, touch, share. Do you believe? Dare you give your heart to something greater than fear? Pain and suffering indeed leave their marks and scars, and these scars come with stories. Yet could it really be that these are not the whole story or the rest of the story? As we continue to write and live out the stories of our own lives, let us be open to life rising and love standing in our midst, and be instruments and agents of God's healing work and presence wherever we are, whomever we are with, wounds and all. Amen.